Open your Bibles, if you will, today to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And I want to tell you going into this, this is going to be a different message. And you say, yeah, I would expect that. But when one of us assistants get a chance to preach here in the pulpit, it's not that we're going through a series. And so you get to speak very few times. And what do you bring to our folks? And I've asked Holly specifically, she's in charge of our slides, not to even put up the sermon title. I'm not going to give you the sermon title till halfway through the sermon, because I have questions for you. And I also, the secretary said, do you have a sermon outline? I said, no, I want you to give them a blank sheet. So I don't care if you put something down or nothing down, but I'm hoping that when you leave the service today, there'll be one or two things you can apply to your lives. I will say this sermon is a little different. I don't know if I'm going to preach it, if I'm going to teach it, or I'm just going to talk about it. I do not know. But I will say, while on vacation last week, the week before last, Jeannie and I were reading the proverb of the day. You understand there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, and you've heard Pastor Dan say forever, and you've heard us say before that one of the things you could do for devotions is read a proverb of the day. So if it's the first day of the month, you read Proverbs 1. If it's the 20th day, you read Proverbs 20. If you were to do that, I will guarantee you that there's something in every proverb that you could apply to your daily living that day. And so we as a family would do that. And after we would read the proverb of the day, we'd say, which verse stood out to you? And how do we apply that to the day? Jeannie and I were doing that while on vacation last week. We were so blessed, at least I was so blessed, and I think we were. We discussed the proverb and I said, wow, this would be great. Maybe I can share this next Sunday. And therefore, the message today. But before we read this passage, let me ask you all a question. Do you have, any of you, ever have decisions to make? Yes or no? What about the rest of you? A few of you answered. Do you have decisions to make when you're older, when you're older than 60? Yes or no? Do you teenagers still have decisions to make? All three of you said yes. Thank you. Do you millennial generation people, that's much younger than I am, do you have decisions to make? All four of you. Good. I'm glad you're so with me today. Let me say this. Is there anyone here still wondering, what does God want me to do with my life? I tell you, I've had the privilege of working with teens for over 40 years. And when I used to have David Warren's job as a high school principal, often a senior in high school would come to me and say, Mr. Reese, which college do you think I ought to go to? This one, or this one? We would discuss that. Many times they'd come in and discuss, I don't know what God wants me to do. Here's what I like, but I don't know. How do you know that? And when I prepare a message to teach or to preach to a church like this, I want to speak to every person here, whether you're a teenager, a pre-teenager, or a senior citizen. There's something here in this passage for all of us. And I want to say to you teenagers, you wonder where you're going to go to college? You want to know what classes to take? You know, who should you date? Who are you going to marry? What's your vocation? What does God want you to do with your life versus what you want to do with your life? Who should you hang out with? Who shouldn't you hang out with? All kinds of questions. And teenagers are searching for those answers. What about parents? You say, oh, no, when we get to be parents, we know all the answers. That's only what your pre-teenager thinks. When they're a teenager, they know you don't have all the answers. But you parents say, how do I handle the terrible twos? Been there, done that, don't want to go back. How about this? How do I handle my teenager? Where's the book that teaches me how to do that? Am I too strict? Am I too lenient? Where do I find that out? How do I answer this question? Parents, you can identify. How do I answer this question? Why? Or when they get to be teenagers, it's, why not? How about this? How do I handle my 24-year-old that's still living at home? How about this? How do I understand my wife? And all you ladies say, wait a minute, how do I understand my husband? Any adult. We have questions about finances, about our job. What do I mean our job? I've been told numerous times by people here. I think I don't have my mic on. I've been told numerous times by people in our congregation. They're working for this employer, that employer, and they want them to fudge a little bit on time cards or on the hours that they're going to charge somebody for a job that was done. And as a Christian, do you do what the boss wants you to do, even if it's wrong? You got decisions to make. How about housing? Do we buy? Do we rent? Do we buy the new house? How about retirement? What do we do? What are we going to do? Transportation. Do I continue to drive the old clunker or do I buy a new car? Do I pay cash or do I go in debt? Is it okay to go in debt or isn't it? Questions about our health issues. Some of you are facing catastrophic things. The list goes on and on and on. We have decisions to make virtually every day. Sometimes every moment of every day. We as pastors will talk, or as teachers will talk. We'll have a parent come in, or someone from the church, or someone from the community. We never know who's coming through the door next, and they're coming to us, and they're asking questions. And we're supposed to have the answer? We need God's wisdom every day. We all have decisions to make on a daily basis. Yes or no? One more time. Yes or no? Yes. Every one of us have decisions to make every day about little issues, about major issues, about the direction of our lives, almost no matter what age we're at, where I'm at, where I'm going, and how am I going to get there? We've all got questions every day. How do we go about making the right choices? We need help. And sometime more than a week ago, Jeannie and I were going through Proverbs chapter 2. Follow along with me as I read Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hidden treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and then you'll find the knowledge of God. For it's the Lord that giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up with sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion, that's making wise choices, shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh perverse or forward things, who leave the paths of the unrighteous to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the perverseness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths, to deliver thee also from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the path of life, that they mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Jeannie and I sat there that morning, and we read that chapter. I read some verses. She read some verses. We got all through with that passage. And I said, wow. I said, you know what those first four verses are saying, Jeannie? Well, we just read it. And she probably looked at me like, duh, yeah, I just read it. And I gave her a synopsis. So I only have 2 points to this sermon. And I give you point one with a word missing on purpose. And here's point one. It's number one. Daily, blank, upon God and His Word. Now, we're going to come back and fill in that blank later. But I want you to see what God the Holy Spirit, by the way, the Bible tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration in the book of Timothy. And then in Peter it says, the Holy Spirit moved upon holy men of God and told them what to write. Every word, every verse, every passage in Scripture was given to us verbally, breathed by the Holy Spirit. So let me show you what the Holy Spirit is telling us just in verse 1. All right, verse 1. First of all, we must be convinced that the words of God are a fountain and standard of wisdom and understanding. When I say a fountain, I have a book on my shelf called Proverbs, The Wellspring of Life. A fountain, to me, it's an artesian well. It's just always bubbling. We have to fully understand and be convinced that the words of God are a fountain of life. It's our standard of wisdom and understanding. Look at verse 1. My son, if thou wilt. And the next word is what? See, you're not used to this. The next word is what? Receive. If you will receive my words. I love word studies. I can't go through a passage, if I have the time, without looking up the words in the Hebrew or the Greek. What's the Holy Spirit trying to tell us? And that word receive means to listen and to believe God's word. If you will listen and believe the word of God. And it goes on. My son, if you will listen and believe my words, and you will hide my commandments with thee. What does it mean to hide my commandments? It means to treasure the precepts, the words, the teaching of God's word. To treasure them. To value them. To keep them. And not let anybody steal them. So if I will listen and believe God's word and value them, treasure them, keep them, this is what verse 1 is telling us. And I cross-reference that word keep, and in chapter 4 of Proverbs, verse 21, it says, to keep them, the words of God, in the midst of my heart. In chapter 7 of Proverbs, verse 1, it says, keep my words means to guard or to garrison, put a watch around, to hold on to protect the words of God. Wow. Or this, to keep my commandments, to hide them. Chapter 7 of Proverbs, verse 1, to lay up my commandments means to hide, to lay up. To hide the words of God within me, in my heart. Wow. And I went to chapter 7, verse 2, because I'm wondering here in verse 1, what does it mean to hide my commandments with thee? Cross-reference that to chapter 7, verse 2, and it says, and my law, keep my law as the apple of thine eye. What is that? Something beautiful to behold. It's got a special place in my life. It's something I love. I relish the precepts and the truths of the words of God. Wow. That's a lot in there. Receive and to hide thy commandments. To relish, to keep, to put in my heart, to protect, to garrison. All in verse 1. And I look at verse 2 and it says, we must not only receive the word of God or words of God, but we need to retain the word of God. Look at verse 2. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Guess what? I had to look up the word incline. What does it mean to incline my ear unto wisdom? I found out in the original that word incline means, get this, It's fun studying the Bible. It means to your ears perk up. Do your ears perk up? My son played a bad trick on me because I said I'll never have a cat in my house. I'm a dog guy. I'm not a cat guy. All you cat lovers, you can hate me. I'm not a cat guy. For Mother's Day, my son gave my wife a baby kitten. And I'm going to get away with kicking it out? You know, Harold, you know this? If mama ain't happy, nobody, Mikey's not happy. We now have a cat. Yes, I'm learning to live with a cat. But one of the things I've noticed about this kitten cat, you know all kittens turn into cats? One of the things I've noticed about this cat, it can be laying there, which is all they do. I mean, to have a dog's life is one thing, but a cat's life is, wow, nothing. Just laying there all the time. It can be laying there wherever it's laying. And if somebody walks up the sidewalk or comes to that door, the first thing that moves on that cat, want to guess? Boom, the ears. They're like this, she's sleeping. Boom, the ears. They perk up. When I found this out here in Scripture, that this word inclines means to pick up the ears. Guess what I thought? Cat. It means to give heed to. It means to pay attention to. To pick up the ears. To mark well what's being said. And then this verse 2 says, and apply thine heart. So it's not just to pick up the ears and listen, but it's to apply thine heart. Well, the word heart means, and I went and looked up the word heart in the Hebrew. And the word heart literally means feelings. It means your will. It means your intellect. Or it could mean the center of everything about you. And I put it this way, it's your innermost being. It's the real you. So what is this verse saying? Yea, if you, verse 2, so that thou listen, you pick up the ears, you mark it well, and you apply, it becomes part of your innermost being. It's the way I live my life. Wow. So in verse 1, we must be convinced the Word of God. The words of God are the fountain and the standard of wisdom and understanding. In verse 2, we must not only receive but retain the Word of God. In verse 3, it says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge. How many of you cry? And so it's two things here. Cry and lift up thy voice. Two things I find in this verse. So yes, I looked up this word cry. And you see, verse 3 tells us we've got to value and deeply desire the words of God. And we got to be in prayer seeking more. This word criest or cry means to ask or to seek or to beg like a beggar who has no food and is hungry. You would beg for food because you're hungry. Or the word cry could mean to desire milk like a newborn baby. Get your attention yet? Do you know how old I am? Do you know how old I am glad not to be? We have now found out why God gives young children to young adults. I don't even know where Jeannie... Oh, yes, I do. I know where Jeannie and I were recently. And we had 5 of our grandkids, and they did a wonderful job. And they were not a problem at all. But somebody else brought their grandkids in. And as soon as their grandkids came in, and my kids were perfect, they were good, they were quiet, like all the Reese offspring are. But this other family, nothing to do with Brights, but this other family came in, and all of a sudden, one of them was, and I said, Jeannie, it's time to go. I can't handle this. Babies cry when they're hungry, yes? They desire something. Guess what? 1 Peter 2:2 talks about crying after the sincere milk of the Word. You know, when we first became believers, we should have thirsted for the teachings and the truths of God's Word. Because you grow thereby. You grow from hearing more of God's Word. This word cry means to cry out like a baby cries for milk. It means to cry out like a beggar might beg for food when he's so hungry. And then I find in this verse 3, this word lifteth up. It literally means to deliver up, to put forth, or to thrust your voice upward. It's talking about praying and asking God for wisdom and discernment. And we go to verse 4. If thou seekest her as, next word. Is it not up there? No, it's not. If we seekest her as what? It's in your Bible. Silver. If we seekest her as silver and search for her as for hid treasure. Wow, we must seek the words of God as treasure. We must dig for it. I looked it up. I looked it up in Strong's Concordance. We've got to dig for it, the Word of God. Like miners dig for fine gold or for silver. Now, I want to illustrate this point in a certain way. I have a dollar bill to give away. Who wants it? Come get it. Nobody wants it? I'm dead serious. You're the first one up, that girl back there. Come here and get this. It's yours. All right, take it. You all thought I was kidding. There you go. You're welcome. Now, I have a $5 bill. Who wants it? Look at this. Yeah, you're pretty slow. You better get over them in a hurry. There you go. Smart kid. Well, they might have been smarter, though, because now I have a $10 bill. Who wants it? Look at this. You're too late. She already got it. Now, this isn't like your normal church service, I know. But I also have something in my pocket. I'm not going to tell you where I got this. This is a gold, 1 ounce gold coin. You didn't let me finish. I'm not going to give it away. Hang on. This 1 ounce gold coin is worth a little over $1,100 today. Okay? $1,100. Would you like to touch it? That's all. I do have a coin that looks like gold. And what's the name, Jeannie? Sacagawea. It's an American dollar gold coin. Would you like that? Would you like that?
Yeah.
You can have it. All right. Now, why was it all young people that stood up? No. Yeah, they might be quicker, but it's also a thing called pride. You know, they treasured those things. I got to make sure that one is still back in my pocket. Yes, it is. What does it say? Somebody was eager to get a $5 bill. Somebody was eager to get a $10 bill. Somebody was very eager to get a gold coin. By the way, we did give one of those away. Barb Green, an adult, jumped up and came and got it years ago in a Christmas Eve service. What is my point? This word in verse 4, if thou seek her as silver. Seek means to desire, to strive after. To search out, to find, to secure. And I see the word seek, and then I see this word searcheth. Is there any difference? Just this word searcheth in the original means to diligently search. Wow. Now, what is all this saying? Jeannie and I read these verses down through chapter 22. And when we were done and we talked and she talked, and then I said, Jeannie, you know what this is all saying? I don't know if you wrote down number one or not, but I told you point number one, and we left a blank. And I don't know if she can bring it up again. But here's what I said on that day, that morning. Jeannie, what this is all saying in these four verses is that we must daily depend upon God and His words every day. If we will listen and we'll believe, we hide, we keep, we guard, we protect, we make it part of our hearts, we apply it, we value the words of God, we cry out for it on a daily basis, we seek it like treasure. If we do this, the whole rest of the chapter tells us what He will give us. It's daily desiring and depending upon God's Word. And I say to you, isn't that what we as Christians do? We daily depend upon the words of God in our life. Daily means every day. Is that what we do? Yes or no? Let's do it this way. How many say yes? Put your hands up. How many say no? Well, guess what? I say no. We don't do all those things that I just said. We seek it every day. We cry out like a beggar or a baby. We beg God for it. We value it as treasure. We listen to it every day. Come on. Those of you that raised your hands after this, you may want to put your hand down. And it depends on what survey you look at, but I went out and looked at a number of surveys. And to my surprise, I found out that 80% of churchgoers do not read their Bible daily. That one didn't surprise me. And all of those of you that raised your hand and said you value it like treasure, do you read it every day? I said, daily dependence is what we're after. 80% of churchgoers do not read their Bible. Only 20% do. 20% say they read their Bibles on a regular basis. 25% says they read their Bibles a few times a week, but get this, 82% only read their Bibles on Sunday. So my first point was that we daily, I left a blank in there for you, I said that we, I got to find it, daily dependence upon God's Word was my first point. You see, in the thing that I gave Jeannie a week or so ago, I said, Jeannie, you know what this says? Daily dependence brings wise decisions and direction. Do you want to make the right choices? Do you want to know what God has for your life, teenager, or wherever you are? I like this, but maybe He wants me to do that. I like this, I like this, I like this. I don't know what to do. Do you want to make the right decision concerning your teenager or 24-year-old? Do you want to make right financial decisions? Do you want to make right vocational decisions? Then daily get into God's Word and listen to it and apply it and value it and treasure it and make it part of your life every day. And here's what I told Jeannie. I didn't preach to her that way. I just said this. Jeannie, daily dependence upon God and His Word equals wise decisions and direction. So point two is daily dependence brings wise decision and direction. Look at what some of these verses say. If we will do what I just laid out, if we will do that, look what He does for us. Verse 5. Verse 5 tells us, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. It brings the fear of the Lord in our life. What is the fear of the Lord? Not that we're afraid, but it's an awesomeness and it's a respect of a holy, righteous God. Can I tell you this? Our society has lost the fear of God. And so have a lot of Christians. Verse 5 tells us He'll give us knowledge. What is that? Learning facts. By being taught or by experience. But He'll give us knowledge. Verse 6 says He'll give us wisdom. That's the application of knowledge. Wisdom is knowing what to do. How to do it. He says, if we do what's in verses 1 through 4, He will give us the fear of the Lord. He'll give us knowledge. He'll give us wisdom. But it goes on. In verse 7 and 8, you read it. It says He'll be a buckler and a shield. What is it? He'll give us protection. Man, Mom and Dad, how I wanted protection from my teenagers as they walked through this course of life. And now they're not teenagers anymore, and I still pray for God to protect them every day. God will give you perfection if you do what He said in verses 1 through 4. That's one of the benefits. He uses the word buckler, and buckler means to cast down fear or to protect. He will cast down fear in your life. He will protect you. He uses the word shield, and the word there is for a large shield. He'll protect you. He'll be your defender. Verse 9. You do what's in verses 1 through 4 and apply it. And He said He'll give you knowledge of right and wrong. Just and unjust. Verse 11 uses the word discretion or discernment. And all I can say to you is even at my ripe old age, I need discernment and discretion every day. He'll give it to us. Verse 12 through 16, what do we see? You see, He gives us deliverance. And He gives two examples here, the Holy Spirit, of deliverance. One is of the ungodly man. You teenagers, let me tell you this. And you young 20s, let me tell you this. You become like the people you hang with. Somebody said you become like the people you eat, the books you read, and the food you eat. And there's so much truth to all of that. But you do what's in verses 1 through 4. He'll protect you from friends that would lead you astray. Man, do our kids need that? And not only that, I read my Bible there, He will protect you from immorality. Who here doesn't need that kind of protection? Just this past week, I was talking to a man. He and I were talking about an acquaintance that we have of a former pastor who counseled a woman by himself. And this former pastor ended up having an affair with this woman. He left his church. He left his wife. And he left his children for another woman. And he left the position of being a pastor in a church to go to another state and work as a clerk in a 7-Eleven to put food on he and his new wife's table. And when he talked to this deacon in the church many years later, he's gotten his life right with God now, but he's destroyed his family. And he told this former deacon in his church years later, he said, the first thing I did was I stopped reading my Bible. Verses 12 through 16 says He'll give us deliverance. Daily dependence upon God and His Word will keep you from immorality. Wow. In verse 20, I get the word direction. You'll walk in the way of good men. You'll keep the paths of the righteous. It literally means to walk in the way of goodness. You see this? If you just do what's in verses 1 through 4, He will direct your path. Teenager, young person, young adult, whatever, old adults, retirees, whatever. You want to know what God's got for you in the future and you want to know His will? Then do what He says in verses 1 through 4. And He will guide your steps and give you wisdom and direction. Whew. That's what we got out of our devotions that morning. In conclusion, I just say, Wow, I said to my wife, how I need this. And I'm thinking, how you need this. I'm thinking how we all need this. Do you have decisions to make? Duh. Are you seeking the Lord's direction in your life? Remember this, if you don't go away with anything else. What I took away from this proverb was daily dependence upon God, and His Word brings wisdom, wise decision, and direction. In closing, I just want to say, this message is mostly for believers. Those of us who have accepted Christ as our Savior. And if you're not a believer today, this doesn't apply to you yet. But the day that you repent of your sin, you agree with God about your sin. And you ask Him to forgive your sin and to save your soul. All of this is available to you. You believers, are you listening? Every person here, young person, teenagers, young adults, old adults, look at me. Do you daily depend upon God's Word? Do you listen and believe every day? You're listening to His Word every day? That means you read it. Do you hide it in your heart and make it part of your life every day? Do you treasure it like silver or gold? Do you value it? Are you crying out for more of His Word every day? Do you, dear Christian, seek it as treasure? Is there room for improvement in this area of your life? Daily dependence upon God and His Word brings wise decision and direction. I need help.